youtube.com and read Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome, We All Have It. Listen to my radio program, Advice Line, live streaming on FHU.com 10 to midnight Pacific Time and on over 100 stations. For my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, call 866-RADIO-ROY. I'm Roy Masters.
I have two Secrets of Success seminars coming to Hoffman Estates. Hi, this is Peter the Printer, owner of Plum Grove Printers. Owners and business managers will want to attend my March 21st seminar called Grow Your Business with Direct Mail, a fast-paced, three-hour session loaded with print and mail money-saving secrets. My seminar on April 4th is a print designer's workshop and will include 29 money-saving tips for designers and print buyers, as well as postal automation discount tips. For details and to register, visit plumgroveprinters.com.
Come see the Pirates of Penzance at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace. This isn't your average pirate story, and it's definitely not rated R. This fun family musical will have you ready to swab the decks to avoid walking the plank. One of Gilbert and Sullivan's most enjoyable operettas, Pirates of Penzance is a swashbuckling comedy that stands today as one of the most popular and enduring works of musical theater. Now playing March 9th through May 7th at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace. For tickets and more information, call 630-570-7272.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me today is Veronique. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing great. Saw a very interesting film over the weekend. Of course, those of you who listened to the show last week know that it was Aaron Russo's From America, From Freedom to Fascism, shown at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. By the way, before I get into the film, I had never been to, I guess it's pronounced Arcata, theater in St. Charles. If people haven't been, that's really a marvelous old, I guess, vaudeville theater. Just beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous theater, and it's got an old-fashioned pipe organ that actually Rod Newman, who used to be with WBIG, sister station, played the organ music for an hour before the film started. And it was really an enjoyable experience. The turnout was great. The turnout was, I understand there's like a 900 seat theater, and there was just a few sporadic seats left. So it was almost jam-packed with people. And let me tell you, folks, if you didn't see Aaron Russo's America from Freedom to Fascism, you really missed something. Hopefully you'll get to see it later on this summer under general distribution. What we saw yesterday or Saturday was really a pre-screening. Aaron may jog a little things, a few things here and there. He's still doing a little bit of editing. But the impact of that film could be so great. I really think it could turn this country around back to on the road to freedom from fascism. On the road to freedom and individual responsibility. The film is that good. Think of Michael Moore. Think of the films of Michael Moore and add some intellectual honesty to them. Add some... how do I want to put this? I think Aaron Russo is a lot more fair in his presentation of his point of view than Michael Moore is. It's just as entertaining as Michael Moore's films, with, I think, a message that is far more important than the films of Michael Moore. Not to put them down. I mean, I enjoyed Fahrenheit, whatever it was, 9-1 Fahrenheit, 9-1-1, is that the name of it? but this film, hour and 45 minutes, and it was so jam-packed with information It seemed like, to me, like it ran over 2 hours, but it was really an hour 45-minute film. Starts out with discussing the income tax, the origin of the income tax, the origin of the Federal Reserve System, and the connection of the two. Points out how personal income tax is paid no more than the interest on the national debt in this country. It doesn't pay for any governmental services at all. And then goes through chapter and verse, I'd say very convincingly, of how the income tax is not, how shall I put this? The income tax is voluntary for most folks. Those who are receiving only labor or receiving wages for labor or salaries are just getting an exchange of money for the services they provide. There's no income, there's no gain, because income defined by the Supreme Court is profit or gain in a corporate capacity. Aaron Russo went through all these items. He went through We the People organization, who have been challenging the government on various questions about the income tax. And he got to speak with a former IRS commissioner, who is now, I guess, a high-powered D.C. attorney, tax attorney, and asked very pointed questions. Where in the IRS code is there a requirement for the average citizen to file a 1040 form and pay income tax? And he could not answer the question. He kept on going around in circles. He could not show it. He says, where is income defined? Well, income defined is from income from whatever source derived. Well, that doesn't define income when you use the term income in the sentence. Where is income defined in the code? Aaron Russo asked, and the former IRS commissioner says it's not defined. Well, what is? And then Aaron Russo produced these Supreme Court decisions that did define income. And this former IRS commissioner said that, the courts don't have to follow what the Supreme Court said. That's basically what he said. It was really incredible. He caught this guy in so many contradictions. Made him look like a complete fool. One of the most compelling points of the film was a discussion with a juror in a tax case, here in Illinois, as a matter of fact, where, again, the so-called tax protester had said, I'm willing to file and pay income tax if you just show me the law. He kept on asking IRS agents, the prosecutor, the criminal investigator of the IRS, show me the law. Where in the law am I required to file a tax return? They would not show it. They sent him to court. He kept on asking that question. The jurors sent a message while they're deliberating to the judge asking for the law. And the judge says, I'll get that law to you. He kept on stalling. The jurors kept on back with another question. Show us the law that he violated. What law did he violate? Show us the law. The judge never came up with that. Why? And the juror says, because it doesn't exist. And this one juror said that he started to see light bulbs light up in the other eyes of the other jurors. Like, you mean we really aren't required to file and pay taxes? How we can let this guy get away with this? The juror said, well, it's his right. He's just exercising his rights. So they found him not guilty. And they showed other instances of other citizens who have been found not guilty when they haven't filed tax returns. And, again, if this gets to general distribution, it seems to me most people are asking themselves, why haven't we heard about these tax cases before? Why hasn't the media reported on these tax cases? What is going on? Why the big silence? This film opens the eyes, I think, will open up the eyes of average citizens better than anything I have seen. After talking about the income tax, he gets into the Federal Reserve, how in order to keep the government from inflating the currency. The only honest money is gold and silver, and which is what the constitutional money is. You can have paper, you know, that's redeemed in gold and silver. That's fine. Of course, we don't have either of those. Federal Reserve is a private corporation charging the government interest on all the expenditures that go beyond the budget. What budget? But, and he really made it as clear as I think is possible. It's a very complicated topic of the Federal Reserve System, how our money system works, and how our money system is backed by nothing. There's never been an audit of the Federal Reserve System. Never. He finished the movie explaining the aspects of the police state that we have in this country and how it's getting worse and worse. Talked about RFID chips, radio frequency identification, and how there's, you know, some people have already had these chips implanted in their skin. This could, RFID chips could totally control all your finances, all your whereabouts, wherever you go. They would know. It really would be the culmination of the 1984 Big Brother. Russo listed executive order after executive order giving so-called emergency powers to the executive branch of the government that would take away all of our rights, explained in detail what the Patriot, so-called Patriot Act does, which again goes a long ways in taking away all of our rights and privacy protections. The impact of the film was tremendous, and it's startling. And again, if, and Aaron Russo says he's going to get this in general distribution. If it does, it really could turn this country around, folks. So we need to get behind Aaron Russo and his film and make sure that it gets general distribution. I understand, well, Russo pointed out that there's some congressmen that want to see the film. I would say ostensibly it seems to some of us to try to shut the film down. I'm going to assume, I'm going to make some predictions here, that there's going to be some big corporate conglomerate that's going to try to buy the rights to the film, try to buy it to kill it. Of course, Eric Russo will not go along with that, I'm sure. And when that doesn't succeed, I'm sure a lot of the big corporate movie theater places, a lot of them are owned by the big corporations, they won't, I'm sure they won't show the film. But if it still makes it around the grassroots into the local theaters, I'm sure then they'll just try to use the power of the press to denounce the film as hogwash or whatever. But I'm telling you, folks, if you look at it, he just, Aaron Russo asked the questions. And it's very clear who the enemy is and who the friend is, folks. We got a government amok, run amok with power, spending way beyond their means, and putting us in a police state situation, all for security, all for the children, of course. And Russo exposes all this in a wonderfully, in a wonderful fashion. Those of you, I know there, I saw a lot of friendly faces out there in the audience and that listen to this show, who listen to this show. I'd love to hear your comments, your observations about the film. Also, another film, interestingly, that opened this weekend was V for Vendetta. This is done, produced by the group of individuals who did the Matrix movies. And I tell you, and from what I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, it takes the Matrix and goes way beyond. This is in futuristic police state Great Britain. And the people react with violent revolution. And evidently the film pulls no punches. And what I'd like to just propose here is you got the peaceful way of turning our country around and restoring individual freedom, self-responsibility of this country through Russo's film. And you've got the other way to do it. And of course, I think almost all of us would like to see Russo's version. But V, from what I understand, V for Vendetta is a warning that if the nonviolent way is not given a fair hearing, then another method may result. I am going to hopefully have a guest today, Scott Bluedorn, who's running for state representative in the Buffalo Grove, Arlington Heights area. We'll be calling in about 9:30, but we'll have a little bit of time, a few minutes hopefully, to discuss these films. If anybody saw either America from Freedom and Fascism or V from Vendetta, I'd love to hear your reviews. Give us a call, 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'm going to John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Any comments, reviews on any films you may have seen over the weekend, especially V for Vendetta or America from Freedom to Fascism? Let's go to the phones. We have John. Hello, John.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, John.
I was there, and I found the film very informative,
mm-hmm.
and I think that if enough people saw it, they might, there might be some sort of tax revolt or something.
Mm-hmm.
But as I came away from the film, reflected on it for a few hours, it seemed like quite depressing.
Yes. Why is that?
Because it's gotten this far.
Oh, because things have gotten this far.
That it's taken 100 years just to come up with this film.
That was my fiance's reaction was, she talked to Aaron and she said, this is a frightening film. And I guess it is. But I think it's also a film of hope. I mean, it's a call to, well, let's put it this way. The film is a call to action.
Call to action, right.
And instead of just, you know, laying it out there saying, this is what's happening, it's a call to action. And, you know, I know I'm an eternal optimist and I've been burned too many times, but I think Russell's done it in a manner. I think he's such a pro at what he does that I think he could get a certain segment of the population really going on this.
I believe so. I think the film could have been better had he not done the narration.
Maybe so. Well, and I do have some minor criticisms. I'm not quite sure he should have given us the conclusion right at the beginning. He says the income tax is a fraud. The Federal Reserve is a fraud. Instead of maybe asking the question first. Yeah, there's the other minor things, such as I think there was a little bit of populist money talk there about interest-free money. But to me, that's so minor compared to the total impact. Again, the two highlights I just really enjoyed was that the discussion by that juror, and also and also the grilling of that ex-IRA commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And he really did. And I asked my fiance, you know, because she's not a libertarian. I said, well, you know, who looked like if you had to pick a kook, you know, in the movie, who would be? I wonder if she would have picked James Bovard with this really wild hair, you know. Although he's one of the most intellectual of the intellectuals who was interviewed there. She goes, no, the coup? She says, that was the former IRS commissioner. So.
Supreme Court doesn't mean anything.
Supreme Court doesn't mean anything. Yeah, that's really amazing. It's really amazing the quotes that Aaron got out of it. So, well, it's going to be interesting. I sure hope that this does make it general distribution.
Absolutely. As for Aaron being on your show, which was on the message board, I don't think that's going to happen for at least a year.
Because he's too busy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe when it goes to DVD.
Yeah.
If it goes to DVD.
Well, you got to think, if it doesn't make general distribution, he's got to go to DVD, doesn't he?
I would think so.
I mean, it's going to have to at least, you know, from, you know, grassroots efforts from person to person get shown. But I know Aaron's got a grander plan, and I hope he's right about his plan, that it's going to work. So, it's going to be interesting.
Yes, I wanted to ask you also about the Peace March downtown. Where
you know what? I didn't make it because I've really been under the weather, you know, and I've been so sick lately that I just didn't think I was up to it. But I understand there's like 7,000 people or something.
7,000, again, it was peaceful.
And it was peaceful. No arrests. Yeah. And yeah, I saw a picture of the Tribune, I think it was, and it hit a picture of just people that looked like just average American citizens marching against the war. So that's encouraging. And I understand that happened throughout the country, too. On the anniversary of the war beginning. I don't know what the anniversary date is when George Bush declared victory.
That was in May.
In May, okay.
10 days in May.
John, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Who do we have next?
You got Mike on hold as well.
Yep. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Ken. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see you doing a review and a cover on the movie. I was down there Saturday also. I was walking around town handing out flyers and stuff, trying to help with the organization and set up, you know, heavy, heavy, heavy body we could get, you know?
Right.
But Yeah, I talked to Mr. Russo in the hallway for about 5 minutes, you know. He seemed real, like a real nice guy, you know, straightforward, you know, and he told me when he first started this, you know, he was real skeptical, you know, but just by the time I put the film together, you know, I was like, you know, I was expecting to find you guys are a bunch of kooks, you know. And I'm like, you know, well, he goes, yeah, it just seems that, you know, the more I dug, the more questions I had, the less questions got answered. And like you said, with the IRS commissioner there, you know, evading their questions, you know, dancing around saying, well, the definition is, basically.
Right.
You know, and then like I said, they about told me, like you said, when that, you know, he said that the decisions of the Supreme Court are basically irrelevant to the IRS. Yeah. Right about then, you know, I expected to see him goose-stepping across the stage, you know, and marching us all up and asking for the paper.
No? That's the attitude these people have. There was another part of the film where one of the, IRS criminal investigator, when the taxpayer asked him to show me the law, and he showed him his badge. He said, this is the law.
Right, you're talking about Whitey Harrell?
Yes.
Yeah, he was there at the theater, too, so
right.
Got to meet a lot of them good people, but, I know one thing, they're still trying to get this out to, you know, the smaller test markets and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're in an area where they got a theater and you can get some people to rent the theater, you know, get a hold of Fred Smart from We the People Congress or whatever and make a connection and try to get it shown, you know.
I think it's going
to
be shown in April or May in Wisconsin.
Right.
Around our area, I believe.
Well, I talked to quite a few people in lobbying. We had people who drove in from Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana. So, I mean, you know, people had made the drive just to come see this film. So, you know, the thing is, like you said, it's got to be word of mouth because the corporations are not going to want this out.
No, absolutely not.
So the last thing they're going to do, I was surprised, you know, last Friday he was on the big station there in Chicago for an hour and 45
minutes. Deborah Rowe had on for hour 45 minutes. He was scheduled for like 6 or 10 minutes or something like that.
Right, and I thought it was a great interview because, I mean, every time she tried to throw him off track, he just threw the facts and the court cases right in their face and goes, you know, here's a Supreme Court decision that has not been overturned. What part of that don't you get? And she's like, well, you know, we all have an obligation. Well, we all have obligations, but where is the law? That is the question that's being asked and is not being answered. So, you know, I thought he did a great job on that interview, and, you know, obviously that's a big station and gets out to a lot of people. I just wish, you know, there had been, you know, a little more response to the film downtown, but, you know, you get what you can get.
Well, it's going to take some time, Mike, to get the word spread around.
Right, well, that's the thing, you know, grassroots people like you, me, and everybody listening. You know, I had guys from work come down there on their day off to watch the film, and, you know, been talking to them about this stuff for years, and, you know, and they come down there, and, like, you know, at first we were kind of skeptical, but, you know, after seeing this stuff, it's like, whoa. So.
It's pretty convincing. I think it'd be pretty convincing to almost anybody except someone who's fully supporting the police state.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Last week on your sister's station, I called in and talked to State Senator Chris Lawson, who I've been, you know, discussing this matter for years, and I invited him. I said, Chris, come down to the theater. It's a free movie. Sit there, take notes, come back, and tell us where we're wrong. Well, I haven't heard that yet, so I'll keep holding my breath.
Oh, boy. Chris, I think his heart's in the right place, but I think he's probably a little fearful of the information that you have for him, Mike.
Well, the whole thing is, if I'm right, his whole life, you know, as a CPA, tax professional, all that, is based on fraud. Who wants to go and, you know, find out your life is based on fraud? I don't.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the Matrix movie, you know, you got the red pill or the blue pill, you know. You take the one, you wake up in your cubicle, everything's fine. You take the other one, the mask is pulled off, and then you have to deal with what you find. You know, if you're a person of moral integrity, well, once you find there's a wrong being done, you have not much of a choice. I mean, okay, I can keep letting this go on, or else I'm going to take action to correct it. You know, and at that point, you know, his political career would be over, because, you know, the minute he walks into the Senate, you know, or the House or whatever from Illinois and says, you know, the federal income tax is a lie, well, he's done.
Right. Mike, thanks for your call. I got to run. I appreciate your call. All right, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. We're going to be talking to Scott Bluter, Republican candidate for in the primary for state representative, after these messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
for us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on map scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri, make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back at Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome to the show now my good friend, Scott Bluedorn. Scott, how are you doing?
Good morning, Ken, and good morning to your listeners. It's good to see that you're still fighting a good fight, Ken.
Well, you never can give up, or you're not living, I think. Once you know what's happening in this country, to do nothing, I think, is a living death.
Well, I've got to agree with you, and I'm kind of lighthearted when I'm talking to voters, but half serious when I say this is my midlife crisis. But at some point in your life, you look for ways that you can make a difference, because, boy, in Illinois, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're running.
And I do regret I wasn't able to get to the screening of the Russo film this weekend. Obviously, the campaign is pretty fast-paced at this point. We're in the home stretch, but I'm sure it was a success, and I hope that the word continues to spread.
Absolutely. So you're running for state rep under the Republican ticket in what district?
It's the 53rd district. Geographically, it's the Buffalo Grove, Arlington Heights, Wheeling, and Prospect Heights area. And we're challenging an incumbent who's been entrenched for 8 years, and I think the voters are ready for a new direction in Illinois, that's for sure.
And, Sid Mathias, I believe, is who you're challenging. I don't know if you want that name mentioned. But he's a real strong Republican, isn't he? He's a really good, staunch, good limited government conservative type.
Is that right?
Well, you know, that's the challenge of our campaign, is the fact that my opponent is trying to portray himself as a fiscal conservative, but having researched his record for the time that he's been in Springfield, I'd say that few people would agree with his own self-identification. So the challenge, obviously, of a candidate is to get the information out to the voters, and you certainly can't count on the media to do that work for you, although I appreciate the time that you're giving me here. You certainly are the exception. So the challenge is as you well know, you do have to fund your campaign because you've got to communicate with the voters and essentially get the message out that the gentleman that is calling himself a small government Republican is anything but.
So what would you do different if you were elected to state representative in Springfield?
Well, I think it's a question in Illinois where we're almost to the point where we've blurred the distinction between the political parties. So you know, a lot of the voters are frustrated with what they see, particularly on the Republican side. Obviously, I'm talking to Republican households, and you know, I think columnist Bob Novak said it best. He said the Reagan Revolution bypassed Illinois. Now and I don't think anybody can argue with that. But the message of Reagan is essentially one of limited government, as you know. Now
the message, at least, is not the.
I was gonna put a qualifier in there that the rhetoric and the message of Reagan was a very positive one that I think most people you know, agrees in our American heritage. Now, you can quibble about the accomplishments and the deeds of that administration, but at least rhetorically, it's a message that voters want to get behind.
We said government's the problem, not the solution.
Well, exactly, and that's a good quote, and he had also had a quote in an interview he did with Reason Magazine where he said, the very heart and soul of conservatism is libertarian. So what we're essentially trying to do here in the 53rd District is break the incumbent protection model whereby the establishment gets involved in the primary process. Instead of spending their resources on defeating Democrats, they tend to come in and protect their favorite incumbents. So what we're trying to do is create a template where we can show that we can break that model and hopefully bring the farm team off the sidelines, because I think there's a lot of good small government-minded fiscal conservatives and a lot of people of like mind on the grassroots, but they just don't take that next step because they see what can happen.
Well, the spending in Springfield has just grown tremendously, hasn't it?
If you go back to the George Ryan period from 1998 to 2002, the baseline of the state budget increased 40%. I mean, we're looking at $55 billion a year on a state budget, and that doesn't include the off-budget items, which are increasing every year as well. So there's a lot of wasteful government in Illinois, and I think you know, the voters are catching on. Like I say, the challenge is to reach them directly without the filter of the media.
Well, specifically, how would you do that though? How would you turn it around? This it seems to be insatiable appetite for government, but not only the politicians, Scott, but I think a lot of people out there. You quote from Novak, the Reagan Revolution bypassed Illinois. And there seems to be this attitude in Illinois is we need more government. All the time, we need more government. The education's not working. We need more money in education. Health care, we need more money in health care.
Well, I think, one of the things that we need to do is to get people to realize that you don't get anything from the state unless they take it from somebody else first. I've been to Springfield, and there's no money tree. At least I haven't been able to find it. State Senator Steve Rauschenberger, did speak to the Libertarian Convention, I believe,
yep,
when he said, the difficulty is that there's no constituency for spending cuts. So I think the approach needs to be to try and initiate public policy that is more market-oriented, so that people get a taste of capitalism. And our good friend Joe Bast is a big proponent of school choice, as am I. And one of the techniques that that he's using is he wrote a one of those little pocketbooks explaining in layman's terms how a capitalist market works. The assumption being that, you know, if people understand it, they won't be so afraid of it. I actually don't even think, I mean, as well-intentioned as that is, a lot of people don't take the time to read essays like that.
No.
I think the approach is that people don't need to understand capitalism, but they like it when they see it. So what I'm looking to do is address, you know, a couple of the problems that are of great concern in the district, and they're intertwined, and that is property taxes, which has been skyrocketing, and also trying to promote more options in education so that families can choose, you know, education providers. And like I say, I think, you know, once people get a taste of it, they would fight fiercely to protect it. I know there's some debate among libertarian circles about school choice that it would ultimately lead to curriculum control and accreditation, using the vehicle of accreditation. But I think we're looking to create a new political dynamic where people will like the product that they're receiving, and then they would organize and protect it in a political way.
So you're advocating vouchers and tax credits to...
Yeah, a combination of...
How the education consumers can use their choice in bettering education for their children.
Right. My campaign, I've been very forthright in advocating for school choice, and that can be done a couple different ways. As you mentioned, tuition tax credits, I think that's the one that is probably politically the one that can be accomplished first, but I'm also, you know, looking to advance the Heartland Plan for Illinois, which was written a couple years back. It's a model, it's model legislation for school choice, which doesn't use a heavy-handed approach where it's mandated statewide. It simply would create a mechanism to whereby the voters of each individual school district could vote in choice funding via referendum. And I think even just having that out there would put enough pressure and leverage on existing school boards to be more mindful of their fiscal responsibilities, just knowing that the voters could pull the trigger on that at any time if they felt it necessary.
How would you protect against added regulation by government on private schools?
Well, I guess the way I look at it, Ken, is that as a marketplace for innovative education products and services developed and emerged, that that would be an extraordinarily satisfied customer base. And the one thing that politicians are fearful of is an organized constituency. So I think the political dynamic that would be created with a school choice program would be such that I think there would be organized resistance to any encroachment upon the new way of education that that they become satisfied with. Now, I mean, it's obviously something that you'd want to safeguard to the thousandth degree to prevent any control of curriculum or accreditation standards being used to do so. But the fact of the matter is that right now there's nothing preventing any state legislator from proposing curriculum control on private schools as they exist today. There's nothing preventing it. But the reason it doesn't happen is because they're fearful of creating ill will among, you know, that particular segment of the voting population. So, so I you know, like I say, I think the arguments it could ultimately be used to, you know, the accreditation vehicle could be used in nefarious ways. I'm a little skeptical of that argument because, I mean, the same thing could happen tomorrow under the current system anyway.
What about healthcare? We see an ever expanding role by government in healthcare. I think Blagojevich has gotten past some freebie for school children now.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's one of the big issues that's been going back and forth in my campaign. My opponent voted for the Blagojevich All Kids program, and essentially, what this is it's subsidizing child health insurance. Well into the upper middle class, up to households that have an income of $80,000. Now, this is just This is just horrible legislation. The actual press release that Blagojevich put out was four times longer than the actual legislation. The other thing that was tremendously reckless and irresponsible was that my opponent voted for this, and they didn't even have a single committee hearing on this bill. It was just kind of run through the legislature at the 11th hour in a veto session, no less.
Wow.
And had they taken the time to hold committee hearings, they would have found that the state of Maine, for example, passed a similar, even though and actually a scaled down version of this. And the experience that they've had, this was done in 2003, what they found was that employers that routinely offer family coverage and child coverage in their employee benefits packages, they soon began to drop that coverage. Because their assumption was, well, why should we provide this to our employees if Uncle Sugar's going to do it? So very quickly, in just a couple short years, the private sector marketplace for family health insurance evaporated, and because of the shrinking pool of available customers, you know, and the same thing would happen in Illinois if we don't repeal this thing. You know, within a couple of years, a family's choices for child coverage would be either state-managed care or nothing at all. And I think that, you know, people need to know what the consequences of some of these government actions are, and I don't think they'd be too thrilled if they saw some of the examples that other states have gone down. I personally, and I don't mean to filibuster here, I personally put my money where my mouth is. I had been getting medical coverage on my wife's policy through her employer, but the spousal coverage, you know, as you know, premiums are just, you know, skyrocketing. So I actually took the initiative, and in Illinois, as an individual, you can get a high deductible health policy with a health savings account attached to it. And so it's a more market-oriented approach, and I found that my out-of-pocket cost went from $700 a month to $92 a month. So there are market alternatives out there. We just need to continue to promote them and legislate policy that would encourage you know, the growth of that sector.
Okay. We're talking with Scott Bluehorn, candidate for state representative, 53rd District. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any comments or questions for him, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute, and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. Talking with Scott Bluedorn. Scott, let's go to the phones. We have a few callers.
Sure.
Hello, Carol. Quickly, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
If you're going to do any cost comparison on anything, including the types of insurance available, you're going to have to be able to do simple arithmetic and, above all, be able to count. Now, District 300 is running a big bond issue out here in the area.
Yeah.
And they sent out a piece of literature, their March newsletter, 06.
Yes.
On page 3, they put together a simple little diagram in order to figure out how much they needed.
Right.
They had 8 houses. And these 8 houses generated 15 students. Now, I was putting together to figure out how much was going to be needed if Hampshire annexed another subdivision. So I'm going down their chart, which the number of students and the property values which were there that they used to explain why they needed the bond issue. Now, if you go to page 3 on this...
Got to really sum this up.
Okay, we'll do it real quick. Instead of having 8 houses, they had 9 there, so from that point forward, all of their mathematics are skewed.
Well, it's always been skewed, and this is Scott's
they've
been predicting since the mid-90s they're going to have so many more students every year, and it's never close to
that. Now, this is based on a fact that the district gives out wrong information in their literature, and
right.
I just wanted to let you and the rest of the community know that this is how they're doing their math.
As they always do. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thank
Scott,
you.
Scott, quick on the...
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems to be a common technique that's used to push referendums is misinformation to the voters. I do, obviously have my hands full here in the district, but I do know quite a few of the folks personally who are opposing the District 300 referendum, and I urge all your listeners to put credence in what they're saying, because the spending is the issue, and that's not what's talked about. So I would recommend a no vote on that particular referendum.
Absolutely.
We
also have the LG Community College referendum. I have to mention that there will be no new taxes raised if you vote for it, but their bond is, these education institutions, they keep on issuing bond issues, and they say, well, it'll leave you in 10
10 years or 20 years. Okay, when it does, let's actually get our tax back a little bit.
Well,
vote no against the ECC referendum too, folks. Scott, if people want to help you out, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, this is the 11th hour, and we do need all the help we can get because we need to finish strong. What we're trying to do here is not an easy thing, but we're very confident. For more information, people can visit my website. It's votebluedorn.com. That's vote, and Bluedorn is spelled B as in boy, L-U, D as in David, O. We'd love to hear from you folks because I know your listeners are the type of people that are going to change Illinois.
Thanks, Scott, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you, Ken. Keep up the good work.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, this is from quotation of the week from Albert J. Nock. It cannot even be said that the state has ever shown any disposition to suppress crime, but only to safeguard its own monopoly of crime.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.